Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. It is July 3rd, 2005. Welcome, everybody, to the show. This is Bill Jordan, your host. We're glad you're here. We've got a good show coming up for you today. We're going to talk about the market report and some very high-dollar Golden Age books that have been sold and some upcoming sales of Golden Age books that we see coming on the horizon. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the Human Torch. Not the Human Torch that you might expect to see in the July 8th premiere of the movie The Fantastic Four, but in the show today we're going to talk about the Golden Age Human Torch, who made his first appearance in the early Golden Age of comics. Before we go into the market report, I wanted to mention a little bit about some conventions that are coming up. As everybody is likely aware, the San Diego Comic-Con International is coming up July 14th through the 17th at the San Diego Convention Center in San Diego, California. This is, of course, the granddaddy of them all, the biggest show probably in the world, the biggest show certainly in the United States, and from what I hear, there'll be a lot to see. Tons of books, tons of fans, tons of announcements, and just a wonderful show. I'm planning on being out there, and I hope to see lots of you out there as well. Also, if you're not going to be out in California for the San Diego show, there's a wonderful alternative in the Atlanta, Georgia area on Sunday, July 17th, and that is the Atlanta Comic Book Convention. It takes place at the Marriott Century Center off of I-85 in Atlanta, Georgia. If you need more information about that show, you can go to their website at atlantacomicconvention.com. I've been to this show many times. It meets quarterly in the Atlanta area and has been fondly called the best one-day comic book show in the South, and I certainly agree with that. I've never been disappointed by this show and would encourage everybody who's in the Atlanta area who isn't going to be in San Diego on July 17th to check out that show. It's always good. Lots of good Golden Age books, and a lot of really good dealers come to this show on a regular basis. My good friend Earl Shaw is always there with lots of good gold and silver books. Rick Fortenberry from Charlotte, North Carolina is always at this show. There are a number of stores that are there. The Heroes store from Charlotte is there, and others. So I would encourage you to attend the Atlanta Comic Book Convention on July 17th if you're in the area. Well, let's talk a little bit about the marketplace and what's happening with Golden Age books. I got my copy of Comic Buyer's Guide number 1608, the September 2005 issue, in the mail just the other day, and it came in a plastic bag, so I knew there was something enclosed with it. And sure enough, when I opened it up, there was a newsprint flyer from Comic Heaven announcing an auction that they're going to be doing. They announced with this flyer that they will have a catalog in the next issue of Comic Buyer's Guide number 1609 that will have over 8,000 comics for sale, Golden Age and Silver Age and others. So I took a look at this newsprint flyer. It's several pages long and has a number of thumbnail images of comic book covers that they will have for sale in their upcoming auction. And there's some really nice, high-grade Golden Age books that they will have in their auction, and I wanted to mention a few. First of all, they're going to have a copy of Hit number 5. This is a near-mint copy. A copy of All-Star Comics number 7, very fine near-mint. A copy of Detective Comics number 49. This is a really high-grade copy. It's a Larson copy. If you know anything about Pedigree Comics, and we may discuss that in one of our upcoming shows, but the Larson Pedigree Collection is a very, very nice collection of Golden Age comics that was found a number of years ago. Most of them in very, very high grade. A Batman number 6 has been listed by Comic Kevin in very fine condition. Captain Midnight number 2 in very fine plus. And a More Fun number 25, very fine minus. A Blackhawk number 9 in near mint minus. So a lot of really high grade books, early Golden Age books, and I would imagine, given what we've seen here lately in some of the other auctions on eBay, in Heritage, and other sources, there will probably be some very high dollar bids and very high results on these books as this auction goes forward. Now, if you're interested in this auction or getting a copy of the catalog, if you're not a subscriber to CBG, you can contact Comic Heaven. Now, looking through their flyer, I did not find a web address for them, but I did find a phone number. So if you want to call them on the landline, that number is 903-636-5555, and you can ask them for their catalog for their upcoming Comic Heaven auction. As I sat and looked through the Comic Buyer's Guide for September of 2005, I noticed they had some very detailed market reports, more so than they've had in the last couple of issues, and I was real intrigued by some of the things they reported on. First of all, they have in their issue number 1608 a all-time top comics averages listing. And what this is they went to eBay and other sources, and if the books represented on this list had at least two bids, then they would list it here as an average in their listing. And I'm not going to go through all of these, and you can pick up a copy of Comic Buyer's Guide number 1608 for yourself, but I thought it was interesting some of the averages they had listed for some very sought after and key issues and others. So let me talk about a few of those today in our market report. First of all, for Batman number 1 in CGC 8.0, they listed an average of $35,400. And then for Batman number 1 in 4.0, graded by the Comic Guarantee Corp, they had an average price of $10,583. Of course, this is a key book, came out in the spring of 1940, and as I have said before, and as most of you know, this was the first appearance of the Joker and the first appearance of the Catwoman, of course, a very early appearance of Robin the Boy Wonder with Batman. They also listed Action Comics number 1, 2.5, graded by CGC, the 1938 first appearance of Superman and the book that ushered in the Golden Age of Comics, averages $35,220 in that grade, 2.5. They had listed an average for More Fun Comics number 101, CGC 9.0, fairly high grade. That average price was $14,000. Now, what's important about More Fun number 101? Well, this January-February 1945 issue features the very first appearance and the origin of Superboy, not Superman, but Superboy, Superman when he was a boy. It also represents the last appearance of the Golden Age Spectre in the More Fun title. They also listed Wonder Woman number 1, 9.0, graded by CGC. The summer 1942 book averaged $23,250 in that particular grade. Detective Comics number 1 in CGC 3.0 averaged $16,000. This 1937 book is, of course, the very first issue of the title that later ushered in the Batman character with issue number 27. Finally, they have Flash number 1, CGC 5.0, from January of 1940. This book, in that grade, averaged $11,375. This book, of course, features the first appearance of the Flash and the first appearance of the Hawkman. Now, these weren't all the averages that they listed in this issue of the Comic Buyer's Guide. They have several pages, starting on page 151, of a number of comics, both Golden Age and Silver Age, where they listed the averages based on the Comic Guarantee Corp grade. So, if you're interested in looking at some average numbers for prices on high-grade, high-dollar books as listed by the CBG, then check out issue 1608. Also in this issue, there were some other highlights that I saw, some very high-dollar, high-grade books. First of all, they reported from the Heritage Signature Auction in New York that took place on May 18th through 20th. They listed a copy of Detective Comics number 38, graded very high by CGC, 9.4. This April 1940 book featured the very first appearance of Robin the Boy Wonder, and this was the Allentown Pedigree book. So a very high grade, very high, highly sought after book, probably one of the nicest copies known to exist. And this copy of Detective 38 with the first Robin the Boy Wonder character sold for $126,500. Interestingly, they reported the sale of a high-grade Amazing Fantasy 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man, for exactly the same price. They also listed from the Golden Age a 9.4 copy, again a very high-grade copy, of More Fun number 58. This August 1940 issue has a Spectre cover. Now, this book sold for $28,750, and this was kind of a special book. It came from the Nicolas Cage collection. Nicolas Cage, of course, is a well-known actor in the United States. Most recently, I think we've all seen him in the movie National Treasure. And Cage, as some of you may know, had a fabulous collection of Golden Age comic books that he sold, I believe, within the last couple of years. All of the books that he had in his collection were very high grade, a lot of the Mile High books and other pedigree books, and he sold his collection for over $1 million. And so his copy of More Fun number 58 that was previously sold a couple of years ago resold for $28,750. Now, in addition to the Heritage auction that was reported in the Comic Buyer's Guide, they also reported that Metropolis Comics sold another of the Nicolas Cage books. This was a Planet number 1 from January 1940. This 9.4 graded CGC book sold for $44,000. So as you can see from the market report, again, where you have some very high-grade books, particularly pedigree books, they're going to bring very high dollars, particularly in the auction marketplace. So that's our market report for this week. Again, some very interesting prices have been realized on some high-grade, sought-after books, and I'll be curious to see how the market continues to progress as we move forward to the San Diego Convention and thereafter. Well, there certainly has been a big summer for comic book movies. We had Batman Begins, which, by the way, as being a big fan of the Golden Age Batman, I thought was a fabulous film. And in another week, on July 8th, the movie-going public is going to learn all about the Fantastic Four. They're going to learn about a character who's a member of the Fantastic Four called the Human Torch. And, of course, those of us that have read Silver Age comics know that the Human Torch is Johnny Storm, the brother of Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman, who, of course, marries Reed Richards and becomes Sue Richards. But in the Golden Age of comics, there was another Human Torch. It wasn't Johnny Storm, and he wasn't a member of the Fantastic Four. In fact, his name, the Human Torch, was a little bit ironic because he wasn't human at all. The Golden Age Human Torch first made his appearance in Marvel Comics number 1, in 1939. In fact, he was the cover character on the very first issue of Marvel Comics. And I will include a copy of that cover in the blog entry for this podcast when you go to our website, goldenagecomics.org. But the Golden Age Human Torch was created by Phineas T. Horton, a professor who created the Human Torch as an android. A synthetic man, an exact replica of a human being, is what he said in that first issue of Marvel Comics and the first Human Torch story. Although he was an almost perfect duplicate of a human being, he had one flaw, and that flaw was that when the android was exposed to oxygen, he burst into flames, thus the name the Human Torch. This was a real problem, obviously, because every time he touched anything, it would burst into flames. And so when Professor Horton introduced the Human Torch to the world, he did so by placing the Human Torch, the android, in a glass container devoid of oxygen. And as he was showing the Human Torch to some press and other interested individuals, he let a little bit of oxygen into the container to show how the Human Torch would burst into flames. Of course, he wasn't called the Human Torch at that point. That name was coined later on in his adventure. Because Dr. Horton, or Professor Horton, was concerned that the Human Torch would be a menace or a threat, he placed him in an airtight container and then buried him in concrete. Later on in the story, air somehow escaped into the concrete, into the container in which the android body was stored, and the Human Torch burst into flames and escaped. I won't tell you the rest of the story because you can go out and read it for yourself, but needless to say, the Human Torch became involved with some criminals during the course of his first adventure and realized that he would likely be best suited at fighting crime. And of course, the publishers realized that to sell comic books, they ought to have this character be dedicated to fighting crime, and so that's what happened. And he became known as Jim Hammond, a policeman, and began his adventures as the Human Torch first in the pages of Marvel Comics number 1, and then as the title changed its name to Marvel Mystery Comics with number 2 in that title, all the way through the end of that title with issue number 92. The Human Torch, as did a lot of Golden Age characters, got his own title, and Human Torch number 1 was first published in the fall of 1940. What was interesting about Human Torch number 1 is that, like a lot of Golden Age characters, including Batman and Captain America and others, the Human Torch gained a sidekick named Toro in this particular issue. Toro had been a circus performer who was somehow impervious to flames. The Human Torch recognized this and adopted Toro as his sidekick. So from that point forward, with Human Torch number 1, Toro became the flaming sidekick of the Human Torch on the covers of many of the issues of Marvel Mystery Comics and Human Torch comics throughout the Golden Age. It's funny, the Human Torch comics actually began with issue number 2 in the fall of 1940. It had been called Red Raven Comics for the first issue, and then there was a numbering confusion with issues 2, 3, 4, and there were actually 2 number 5s of this title, and then they straightened it out, and the numbering continued until number 35 in the March 1949 issue. Now, at that time, the Human Torch title became known as Love Tales, with number 36, and continued until number 75 in September of 1957. To add even more to the confusion, there was a revival of the Human Torch magazine in April of 1954, and the number 36 was used, and it continued until issue number 38 in August of 1954. We'll talk about those titles or those issues in just a couple of minutes. The Human Torch didn't just appear in Marvel Mystery Comics and Human Torch comics. He appeared in a lot of other titles that were published by Timely during the Golden Age of comics. He appeared in All Select Comics that was published during the fall of 1943 with number 1 through number 10 in the summer of 1946. He appeared in Mystic Comics, the second volume of Mystic Comics, issues numbers 1 and 2, October of 1944. And he appeared in All Winners Comics. We talked about that in our last podcast when we talked about some of the Golden Age team-ups. The issues of All Winners that he appeared in were issues 1 through 13, and then 17 through 19, and then number 21. There was also a second issue of All Winners, number 1, published in 1948, and he appeared in that issue. He appeared in Captain America Comics, 1921 through 67 and 69. He appeared in Daring Comics in the fall of 1944 through the fall of 1945, issues 9 through 12. He appeared in Submariner Comics, Young Allies Comics, which was dedicated to the sidekicks, Toro and Bucky, Captain America's sidekick. And later on, in the 50s, he appeared in, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Human Torch Comics that was revived, Submariner Comics that was revived, and 2 titles, Young Men Comics and Men's Adventures Comics. As I mentioned, the Human Torch appeared regularly in his own title and in Marvel Mystery Comics. Marvel Mystery Comics last published an original issue of that title with number 92 in June of 1949. And interestingly, that last issue of Marvel Mystery Comics featured the Human Torch on the cover with an origin story of the Human Torch. The Human Torch story in that issue completely retells his origin and adds a few facts to the origin that was originally told in Marvel Comics number 1. I will reprint a copy of the cover of Marvel Mystery Comics number 92 on my blog that accompanies the podcast. Marvel Mystery Comics later became Marvel Tales with number 93 and continued publication on into the Silver Age of comics. Now, towards the end of the original adventures of the Human Torch in the late 1940s, as the story goes, Toro disappeared for a while. As we were told in the comics, he was caring for his sick mother. And the Human Torch was then joined by Sun Girl, who was his sidekick during several issues. The end of the 1940s brought the end of Human Torch Adventures being published in Marvel Mystery Comics and in Human Torch Comics. And then in the 1950s, Timely Atlas decided to revive the Human Torch character and some of the other characters that were popular in the Golden Age, that being Submariner and Captain America and Human Torch. And so with the publication of Young Men Comics number 24 in December of 1953 through issue 28 in June of 1954, and Men's Adventure Comics that was published in June of 54 with number 27 and issue number 28 in July of 1954, there was a revival of those characters, and then ultimately their own magazines were revived. Submariner's magazine was revived, and Human Torch was revived with issue number 36, number 37, and number 38. Unfortunately, the characters' revivals were short-lived, and the Human Torch and Toro, despite coming back to fight crime, were again moved into obscurity. As the story goes, at the end of the adventures of the Human Torch and Toro in the 1950s, the two of them were ambushed by criminals who had been provided a chemical by the Soviet Union. This chemical, when sprayed upon the Human Torch and Toro, rendered them powerless. The criminals believed the Human Torch was dead and buried him in the desert, and took Toro and sold him to the Soviet Union, where he was brainwashed. Later, in December of 1953, an atomic bomb test near where the Torch had been buried revived the android Human Torch and apparently boosted his powers. He then came back, tracked down the criminals, found out what happened to Toro, and the two of them got back together again to fight crime. Later on, when it appeared that the Torch's powers were going to overload because of the radiation he had absorbed in the atomic bomb test, he went back into the desert and with one large effort exploded himself, or appeared to have exploded himself, to avoid injuring and damaging others, and in an apparent act of suicide, said farewell to the Golden Age of Comics. This was the end of the Human Torch in the Golden Age of Comics, but he came back in the Silver Age, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Now, if you're interested in reading some of the Human Torch Golden Age stories, they have been reprinted on various occasions. First, in Fantasy Masterpieces number 9, published by Marvel in 1967, the first appearance of the Human Torch from Marvel Comics number 1 was reprinted. That book, I'm sure, can be found on eBay or at conventions for around $10 or so in mid-grade. A couple of years ago, Marvel, in a hardbound book, reprinted the entirety of Marvel Comics number 1. That book is probably not still available for new purchase, but I'm sure you can find it at conventions or on eBay or at various comic book stores. Fortunately, for those of us who want to read the very early adventures of the Human Torch from Marvel Comics and Marvel Mystery Comics, late last year, in 2004, Marvel issued the Golden Age Marvel Comics Masterworks number 1. This book reprints Marvel Comics number 1 in its entirety, and Marvel Mystery Comics numbers 2, 3, and 4 in their entirety. All of the stories, not just the Human Torch and Submariner stories, but all of the stories that were contained in those early issues of Marvel Comics and Marvel Mystery Comics are reprinted in that Masterworks edition. One of my favorite reprints was in 1999, in a book published by Marvel. It's called Timely Presents the Human Torch, and it's a regular comic book size, but what it has in it is an exact reprint of Human Torch number 5, the classic Burgos-Everett battle issue between the Human Torch and the Submariner from 1941. This book had a $3.99 cover price and contained the entirety of Human Torch Comics number 5. It's interesting, when you open this book up, even the pages have a dull brown color to them, like an old faded comic book would from the Golden Age of Comics. So if you can find that book at a comic book show or in a comic store, I'd recommend getting it. It's kind of fun to read the original Human Torch number 5 and the battle between the Human Torch and the Submariner that was reprinted therein. Now, what happened to the Human Torch, the original Human Torch, after the Golden Age of comics? Did he fade into obscurity? Well, not exactly. Of course, with Fantastic Four number one, the modern Human Torch was introduced, and the Human Torch that we'll be seeing in the upcoming movie. But what happened to the Golden Age Human Torch? Well, nothing really. He stayed in the background, and no one really heard about him until Fantastic Four Annual number 4 was printed in November of 1966. That was a Stan Lee, Jack Kirby production. Stan Lee, of course, wrote the story, and Jack Kirby, the great Jack Kirby, drew the story, brought back the Golden Age Human Torch to battle the Silver Age Human Torch, Johnny Storm. And it was a great issue, a great battle. I won't spoil the story for you because this book can be had for just a few dollars in low grade or mid grade, and I would recommend that you go out and get a copy of Fantastic Four Annual number 4 from November of 1966. As a bonus, you'll also get a copy and a reprint of the first battle between the Thing and the Hulk. So, good stuff in Fantastic Four Annual number 4, and you get to see what happens to the Human Torch in the Silver Age. But that wasn't the only Silver Age appearance of the Golden Age Human Torch. The Golden Age Human Torch later made appearances in the pages of The Invaders, which was a retro book. It told stories of World War II, as crafted by Roy Thomas. The Golden Age Human Torch also appeared in such titles as The Avengers, The West Coast Avengers, Heroes for Hire, and others. In April of 1990, Marvel issued a four-part miniseries called The Saga of the Original Human Torch. That miniseries ran monthly through July of 1990 and retold the story of the Golden Age Human Torch. If you'd like to learn more about the Golden Age Human Torch, pick up a copy of Alter Ego Magazine number 49. We talked about that in one of our previous podcasts. It's currently still available and features an article with an interview with the daughter of Carl Burgos, who created the Human Torch in Marvel Comics number 1. And also it contains some additional articles about the Golden Age Human Torch. Well, we hope you've enjoyed learning a little bit about the Golden Age Human Torch. Hopefully you'll go out there and find some reprints of his adventures, pick them up, and enjoy them as much as we have. All right, well, that's our show for this week. We certainly appreciate everybody joining us. Hopefully you've learned a little bit about the market and the Golden Age of comics, some things you didn't already know. As we've always talked about in this podcast, please support the Grand Comic Book Database Project. You can visit their website at comics.org. Also, as I mentioned in the last podcast, please support Actor. You can visit their website at actorcomicfund.org. And of course, we appreciate your support of the Golden Age of Comics. Please visit our website at goldenagecomics.org. Please place a vote for us at Podcast Alley if you get the chance. And if you're new to this podcast with iTunes, welcome. iTunes 4.9 has introduced podcasting to a larger sector, I think, of the world, and we have placed a link on our website at goldenagecomics.org that will let you click and subscribe to the Golden Age of Comics podcast. So please take advantage of that feature built into iTunes 4.9 and subscribe to the Golden Age of Comics podcast. That way you won't miss an episode. Thanks again for joining us this week. I hope we'll see some of you out at the San Diego Comic-Con International in San Diego, California. And please drop us an email at comics@goldenagecomics.org if you have any ideas for topics that you would like to hear us talk about on the Golden Age of Comics. We do this show for the fans of the Golden Age of Comics, and so to all of the fans out there, please let us know what you would like us to talk about, and we will do our very best to make sure that we get the content on here that you want to hear. So thank you again for joining us. Have a great week, and we will talk to you all next time.